Giving the Game Away, Part 2. The report in question is entitled The Rise of Antisemitism Online During the Pandemic, a Study of French and German Content. And, having read the thing, I have to say that it is an extremely spurious document. Its hysterical propagandistic tone is perhaps summed up best by its claim that the COVID-19 pandemic was accompanied by, quote, a virus of hate, end quote. It strikes me that it is really describing the great awakening that many of us have noticed emerging since 2020. The measures unleashed against us all were so extreme, so cruel, and the coordination so tightly organised across the world that they opened many people's eyes to the existence of the very real global ruling mafia. The report sees this phenomenon from the perspective of that same mafia, from the vantage point of someone who is absolutely enraged that so many people have woken up and would dearly like to deliver them a heavy blow to the head to send them back into their previous unconscious state. It fumes, quote, since the beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic, the economic uncertainties and anxieties around the virus have been weaponized by a broad range of extremists, conspiracy theorists and disinformation actors who have sought to propagandize, radicalize and mobilize captive online audiences during global lockdowns. End quote. This, it says, has, quote, dangerous implications for public safety, social cohesion and democracy. End quote. Anyone managing to see through this smokescreen of insults and scaremongering rhetoric, they really roll them all out here, might still wonder what exactly was the problem with people questioning the official narrative on COVID. But, of course, there is that familiar Trump card to be pulled from the sleeve. Quote, anti-Semitic hate speech is often a common feature of these diverse threats. End quote. The authors of the report had clearly been told to come up with something that would reveal a rise in anti-Semitism, but in order to do so, they needed to completely conflate conspiracy theory with hate speech. At one point, they even admit that the vast majority of the thought crimes they identify were merely, quote, conspiracy theories about elites secretly controlling world events. End quote. They add, with regard to Germany, quote, a smaller number of posts, 4%, contained material calling for aiding or justifying the killing or harming of Jews in the name of a radical ideology or an extremist view of religion, as well as Holocaust denial or distortion, which amounted to 3%, end quote. So by their own reckoning, 93% of the online anti-Semitism identified by their analysis was, in truth, nothing of the sort. The report ties itself in knots, trying to get around this inconvenient lack of actual anti-Semitism. The authors complain, quote, our research showed French and German language anti-Semitism online to be often characterised by coded language and subtle, insidious tropes that are both challenging to detect and to categorise neatly. One especially common trope remains the alleged control of a vague system enslaving mankind by the whole of Jewry or certain elite Jewish individuals like the Rothschild family or George Soros. End quote. For them, identifying the existence of the global system is itself an anti-Semitic trope. So in order not to be anti-Semitic, you presumably have to keep your eyes firmly shut and refuse to see the obvious. This following passage is quite revealing and worth quoting in full. Quote, as many online conspiracy theory movements started to argue that the virus was either not real or far more harmless than suggested by public health authorities, the narrative of a New World Order, NWO, became prominent. While NWO conspiracy theories are not exclusively anti-Semitic, there is a considerable overlap with anti-Jewish stereotypes, such as elites in control of financial institutions, and they establish a natural narrative environment prone to anti-Semitism. It is also notable that many alleged perpetrators have, according to this conspiracy theory, a Jewish background. For example, a French Instagram user posted an image of alleged members of the Bilderberg group, These include George Soros, Jacob Rothschild, Jack Attali, and other Jewish individuals, alongside some non-Jews like the Clintons and Bill Gates. Adapting this old trope to fit current affairs, conspiracy theorists claimed that the world's elites, often framed in terms of prominent Jewish individuals, faked a pandemic to curb civil liberties through lockdown measures, introduced communism through economic support programs, or undermined data protection with vaccine passports and tracking apps. End quote. Elsewhere, they cite as an example of anti-Semitism what they describe as, quote, a caricature of France's former health minister Agnès Buzyn, who is Jewish, end quote. Ignoring the possibility that during the COVID tyranny, there might have been very real reasons for targeting the health minister other than her ethnic identity. And they push it still further when they write, quote, in France, well-known Jewish figures such as politicians, government advisers and well-known intellectuals, as well as President Emmanuel Macron, who previously worked for the Rothschild Bank, are targeted with accusations that they are part of a malicious secret organisation, end quote. They later again refer to, quote, anti-Semitic allusions to Emmanuel Macron's past employment at the Rothschild Bank, end quote. How could it be anti-Semitic for French people to mention the very real and undisputed employment record of their hugely unpopular and authoritarian president? The confusion increases in a particularly convoluted section, which declares, quote, conspiracy theories about blood-drinking elites and powerful bankers holding people in debt slavery allow those propagating them to deny that these narratives are directly targeted against Jewish people. Furthermore, non-Jewish individuals such as Bill Gates and the Clintons are frequently targeted using tropes with anti-Semitic origins, end quote. What does it mean to target non-Jewish individuals with tropes with anti-Semitic origins? Are they saying here that because they have themselves defined analysis describing high-level public-private corruption as anti-Semitic, because it might be targeting Jewish individuals, then any such analysis, whether or not Jewish people are implicated, is necessarily anti-Semitic? This is not so much expanding the definition of anti-Semitism as entirely reinventing it. The authors add that, quote, this could be an example of harmful but legal anti-Semitic content, end quote. A category which provides much frustration for those who would like to see any challenging of a global criminocracy crushed by the firm hand of their authority. They complain, quote, most anti-Semitic content that we analysed that crossed the threshold of the non-legally binding IHRA working definition was non-violent and not obviously illegal under German and French law. Addressing the proliferation of such legal but harmful anti-Semitic content provides a considerable challenge for tech companies and governments alike, quote, end quote. Oh yes, a tricky one that. How can they concretely criminalise the expression of opinion that is entirely legal but harmful to certain powerful interests? The report contains some pitiful barrel-scraping attempts to demonstrate that resistance to the COVID scam is the same thing as anti-Semitism. It claims that, quote, trivialised comparisons of COVID-19 vaccinations to the Holocaust, end quote, is potentially anti-Semitic expression, end quote, as indeed are all, quote, false Nazi analogies, end quote. There is, of course, nothing false about comparisons between the great fascist resetters and their 20th century totalitarian equivalents, but that doesn't stop the report's authors from ploughing ahead regardless, desperately trying to frame this as anti-Jewish hate speech. Quote, opponents of lockdown measures and COVID-19 vaccinations have been comparing the treatment of Jewish people under fascist regimes to public health measures. This arguably represents a trivialisation of the suffering of Jewish people under the Nazi regime. The insignia and rhetoric of historic French and German fascist regimes have been used to describe the respective governments' responses to the pandemic, with some conspiracy theorists even claiming that the contemporary situation is worse than Vichy France or the Third Reich. For example, French actors repeatedly shared an image where Emmanuel Macron's face was merged with a portrait of Philippe Pétain, the chief of state of Vichy France, although the original image appears to predate the pandemic. In another case, a French Instagram user posted a cartoon of Macron in a Nazi uniform with a red banner on which two syringes form a symbol similar to a swastika, end quote. They seem very sensitive about criticism of Macron, which is strange since his well-being is presumably beyond their remit. Could it be that there is something else at stake here that does not actually relate to Jewishness? The same indignation that COVID totalitarianism might be interpreted as, totalitarianism, is expressed with regard to Germany, where naughty dissidents took to calling Bavarian Minister-President Markus Söder, Söldolf, for his draconian policies, quote, in a reference to Adolf Hitler, end quote, complains the report. It continues, quote, opponents of vaccination problems have likened themselves to victims of the Holocaust by wearing yellow stars of David or posted edited pictures of the gates of Auschwitz where the slogan Arbeit macht frei, work sets you free, has been changed to Impfen macht frei, vaccination sets you free. End quote. Ja und, as they say in Germany, so what? Does being against modern-day fascism suddenly make you anti-Semitic? Apparently, what this amounts to is the thought crime of the, quote, trivialisation of the Holocaust, end quote. The report's authors, themselves clearly well to the Hitler side of the libertarian-totalitarian scale, deeply regret that although this is a punishable offence under German and French law, quote, there has not been systematic prosecution of these offences, end quote. The report's approach to detecting anti-Semitism is rather similar to the PCR test approach to detecting COVID. They explain that they used a, quote, high certainty, end quote, keyword list, quote, compiled of terms that very probably lead to anti-Semitic content, end quote. These included, quote, names of groups or individuals, for example, Rothschild, Soros and Zionist lobby, who are frequently linked to anti-Semitic beliefs in these online subcultures, end quote. Mentioning the Rothschild, Soros, or the Zionist lobby is a high certainty indicator of anti-Semitism. Utterly ridiculous. That's how absurdly low the report's authors needed to set the bar in order to come up with the required conclusion of a rise in anti-Semitism that could be cited by von Schnurbein and used to justify her grandiose project. And we'll look at who's behind the report in the next part.